needed to think clearly, act, but I lived in a constant state of adrenaline, and I was starting to feel it physically. Bless you. And I was the ultimate caregiver. I was the multitasking ultimate caregiver, and not the first time that I have ever been a caregiver. After a little while, I'm wondering, is this my lot in life? And you want me to do what? And when would I have the time to do it? And how? But how, Lord? You know, how many times can you all just face it? But how, Lord? How? How? What did Mary say? How can this be? Right? And then I'd say, who am I really? Who am I? I had a real purpose. Identity crisis. My circumstances had inadvertently defined me. Also, words spoken over me. For instance, you're no good for nothing, never amount to anything. I lived with that growing up, over and over. We have to be really careful what we speak over other people. But the problem is, at that point in my life, I didn't know anything about taking thoughts captive. Not a clue. So those words got in deep. The circumstances got in. Then I married my son's father, a clone of the person who was speaking over me. I was damned, really. Not when you think about it. So now it was one of my parents that did this, and honestly, she's gone. But she didn't mean bad at all. You know, in the final analysis, it was about she wanted to shame me into being a better person than her. And she thought if she said those words, it would propel me to do those greater things. Instead, it made me hide in the corner, shrink, and everything else. And you know, look at one of these blank white walls. Okay? When we come out of the chute, we come out blank. And all the people in our sphere of influence write all over us. And whether they write good or bad is going to define how you end up. Your friends, what they say about you, your teachers, maybe a spouse, maybe it's another family member other than a parent. And again, who you were supposed to be originally, God's design, begins to get lost in the process. So God wants to redefine and repurpose tonight. So let's talk about identity. Are we still stuck in the place we were word or action cursed? God is taking off layers like an onion, piece by piece, because He wants to get to the core, because I don't know about you guys, but if you're listening to what's going on out there in the world, we're getting close. Yes. We are close. I know they've been saying that for many years, but we're getting close. Especially what's going on in Israel, and you know, I'm reading the Old Testament and reading. Wow. We're getting close. So our original identity, our original purpose that God put us here gets slimed. If you were fortunate to grow up in church or live with Pollyanna parents or whatever, great. Most of us haven't. Then I remember when my mother died. I was taking care of my son. My ex-husband was bouncing off the ceiling. My son had crumbs. My mother's dying. I'm the oldest of the youngest, by the way. So I didn't have siblings to divvy up this with. And after it was all over, I had a terrible identity crisis. I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know what fun was. I don't remember what I liked. I don't remember anything of what I really wanted. And who the heck was I, really? I even thought for a while God was mad at me. And he didn't want me anymore. Yeah, for 3 years. That's a whole nother thing. So what happens when our correct identity and purpose is incorrect? I believe God wants to repurpose, rechannel, revive us to where he wants us right now in this very, very pivotal time in history. Why? So we can operate in the dominion and authority and the resurrection power he has for us. We become an impotent church and an individual when we don't see the crown in our head, when we look in the mirror, or we let somebody else push it off. Or maybe we took it off. I've said over and over again, how do you know a lie? You have to know the truth first. And when I had my meltdown after my mother died, I had forgotten one important scripture. There is therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And that eventually freed me. But for a long time, I actually thought that what was going on, that God was using some circumstances to punish me further because I was a no good for nothing, never amount to anything person. And I believed the lie. Stinking thinking. I'm not the only one. But if the people here are going to be instrumental in holding up Mars and George's hands when the flood comes in, you guys need to be free first. Because a drowning person cannot save another person. If you're still drowning in an area, so if we allow this to happen, we become stuck in the lies about ourselves. And the enemy has succeeded in aborting our destinies. That's what he's after, right? Right?
Yeah.
It's not just killing babies. It's the spirit of abortion wants to kill our destinies. And those little whispers in the head, we had to choose not to engage them because they didn't come from God, because there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Either believe it or you don't.
Right.
And if you don't believe it, why not? If you don't believe the truth, you're a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. Where are your crowns?
Come on.
So back to the caregiving. Over and over, I'm still, in a sense, caregiving from a remote distance. But caregiving for myself took a back seat. Thanks to God, I was able to function in the ministry, but even that was a challenge at times. And all that was going on around me, I felt suffocated. Is anybody feeling suffocated by the situation tonight? And in many ways, I was. Thing is that God never released me to take matters into my own hands. That was a fickle. I'm a fixer. You know what happens when you're a fixer? And you can't fix? Whoa. Smoke starts coming out of your ears and everything. So sometimes God orchestrates things that are so way above our heads that we have to cry, uncle. Well, you didn't have to do that to begin with. I never told you I needed you to fix anything. the cycle would repeat itself. And I would be so exhausted by the end of the day, I would just sit in front of the TV with Jell-O head. By the time I had time to do something for myself, my brain was too busy swatting flies for everybody else, spiking everybody else. And some of it was justified. Being an advocate, I had to step into that role. But I had nothing left for me. And then it was probably right after my last mini Broken Pieces in May that two prophets, unrelated places, gave me the identical word that if I didn't come apart, I was going to come apart physically. So I took a 3-month sabbatical from ministry, and the Lord released me back September 1st this year. Then over the course of time, I kept getting words that God would restore and redeem, give me joy. I did not believe it. Just being real. Been there? Have you been there? Are you in circumstances where people give you words and you're like, yeah, sure, right, okay, thank you, bring it on, God. But in the heart, there's still so much damage inside of us that we just can't believe that something good can happen to us. All I could say was, it's good for you, I can believe for you, but I have a dark time believing for me. And I just felt doomed to more of this in my life. Okay, Lord, well, if you're back anytime, I feel like I've done everything that I could do, and if this is the way my life goes, then I'm good, I shall yet praise you. And he's saying, no, 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 no. There's more. And I've actually had people, and I'll say to them, you know what? You believe for me. And I've actually given words to people, and they've actually said that to me. I don't believe it. Well, I'll believe for you. I can say to them. Now, mind you, I never doubted God's miracles. I just told you a bunch of them. I thought I had used them all up, and there was no more left for me. Did anybody ever feel like that? They've had their quotes of miracles, and maybe that was it. He was done. No more stinking thinking. So now, yeah, in April, I had my 7th birthday. How the heck did that happen? Because my head doesn't feel that way. You know, the rest of me might a little bit, but that added more insult to injury. Because all of a sudden, I'm thinking, how many more years do I have left? What is it you wanted me to do, really? You're joking. And how is that going to happen? How can this be, Lord? I could just see Mary and the angel. You know, you want me to do what? Get pregnant? I haven't even been with a guy. I'm not even married. And that's where I was. I wasn't married. And I felt I had lost so many good years of my life to doing damage control for others. Anybody ever feel like that? So my mortality is staring me in the face while I'm listening to these audacious words over here going, you're joking, right? Or even getting words from a friend, that's even worse, okay? That person loves me and likes me, and they're just telling me because they want me to feel better. I do not believe that. See, but I was so conditioned to people being nice, I wasn't even believing prophetic words over my life. And this is dangerous, and I'll tell you why. Because when you get a word, I'm going to go off on a bunny trail here. If it's a word that confirms something, but maybe not all the time, it usually does. Now I'm getting ready to do my 6th School of the Prophets. Anybody wants a journey up to my neck of the woods once a week? I'm happy to have you in my class. I have like 20 people already. And I thought that the person was giving me words because they were a friend. So, but now I'm seeing the fruit of those words. But back here, I'm wondering, and I'm thinking, could I have delayed my own blessing because of my poor self-esteem, because of all the crap that was in my life that I let people write all over me, I'm wondering, I don't have the correct answer, but I'm thinking maybe I was part of the problem because I didn't engage the word. So, I want to just divert a little bit about prophecy. Because I really go into this, and actually Sister Darlene is going to be coming up to do the sermon anointing. We have to be very careful with the words that we speak to people. I can tell you this is part of what I teach. More often than not in my prophetic life, most of the words that go floating into my head, I do not release to other people. Because some of those words are just to pray over. And you can really break somebody's heart and hurt them to the core. Okay? So one of the things I teach them is how to discern and divide the word. The real word. Not the word of God, we're supposed to do that. But I'm talking about the real word. It's dangerous. And the scripture is very specific about, especially in Ezekiel, but I've been reading all about how God feels about false prophets. It's scary. If you give a word and you weren't supposed to, that man's blood is on your hands. This is in Ezekiel. If you don't give the word, his blood is on your hands. So you really have to learn to say, you want me opening my mouth or not? And if you have any hesitancy, just shut your mouth. Because you have to be careful what you speak over people. Because a lot of them aren't really savvy enough, unfortunately, to divide the word on their own. And I know I've gotten words. One particular one was actually part of a ministry team. And it was one of the ministry teachers that was with me that we were ministering to other people. And she gave me a word that was like, and right then and there I said, when I teach this, you just say, you know what? With all due respect, I do not receive that word. Because you don't want to engage it if it ain't yours. And this way it cuts it off at the core. There is a spiritual dynamic. The other person gets offended, that's on them. But very nicely I said, you know, with all due respect, I can't receive that word. It's not true. So always, if you're getting a word and it doesn't ring true, don't be afraid to cut it off at the pass and just say, you know, with all due respect, I do not receive that word. We have to be very careful about what comes out of our mouth. I'm talking to leaders. I found out the hard way. I gave a word early on, back in 92, and the word was to the worship pastor's wife, who was a friend of mine at the time. And I said, you know what? I think the Lord is showing me that God is going to be moving you to California. I can't remember the rest of it. And she was furious with me. The word was for me. It wasn't for her. So when I tell you, I'm teaching you out of my own experience, my own mistakes. Because see, mistakes are a failure. They're part of the learning curve. If you're willing to be humble, and prophetic people need to be humble. Yes. That is a hallmark of a prophet. A real one is to be humble. So, while we're talking about words and the damage that they do to us, this is part of what I teach in the class. You can say, okay, no, I'm sorry, I don't receive it. And just be really careful and make sure that you're supposed to give that word. I know most of the words that I get, I do not release. If one of the ways that I know God wants me to lead, he just won't leave me alone about it. It comes up over and over and over. It might be a week, it might be two. But when you're partnering with God in the prophetic, and you're radically obedient and pretty much glued to him, he will keep you. The scripture says, the spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. We need to be very careful. We have control over what comes out of our mouth. That we might just chase somebody off from totally not wanting any prophetic words if there's loose, I call them loose cannons.
Yeah.
Okay. But this has to do with words. Words that have defined us and kept us from moving forward. Again, I said I felt like suffering was my lot in life. Because the trials that go on so long. I'm going to tell you a story about my younger son, Jeremy. He was about 6 or 7 years old, and there was a lot of abuse going on. His father was either abusing me or abusing them. Jeremy was brilliant. He had a genius IQ, and finally, the problem resolved. The abuser was gone out of the house. Jeremy took over the abusive role in the family. His brother and I were like, what are you doing? The problem is gone. And you know what he said to me? He was 6 and a half years old. It's easier for me to think that things will be bad so I won't get disappointed. If that came out of a 6 and a half year old. But how many of us sabotage our own lives because dare we think that something can be better? Because we don't want, it comes at a very subconscious level that we almost sabotage our own futures. Because it's easier to keep it here because it's safe, even though it's not safe, it's not a good thing, and it keeps people from moving forward because they don't want to get disappointed. Dare they hope that things will be good? Because you were programmed back here. You're no good for nothing, never amount to anything. You're whatever words were spoken over you. And we're going to break all those off tonight. Because, like I said, leaders have to be free before they can lead. To the best of your ability. So it's kind of cool because I think this small group is geared towards leadership. I myself was guilty of this. I believed that I had a hard time engaging with those words because it was easier to believe that this was my lot in life than to dare be disappointed again over and over. And God just went, go. Lies. How many lies do we believe? Really. And we engage the lies more than we do the truth. Because of whatever happened back here. And I want God to disconnect tonight anything back here. So you guys can move completely free in whatever area has been holding you back. And even if you had this Pollyanna life, I'm telling you right now, everybody has stuff. So everybody, all through the Bible, he talks about appointed times and those kairos moments. A lot of us have been in God's waiting room a long time. God's patient, we're not. So if this word hasn't happened in X amount of days, years, or whatever, we tend to give up. God's forgotten us. He doesn't forget anything. But again, the stuff back here that we might have been hurt with keeps the lies intact. That no matter how many times somebody might build you up, you're your own worst enemy. I can relate. I'm the number one hit yourself over the head person. In fact, somebody was saying something to me yesterday, gave me an audacious word, and all I could, and I started to cry, and I said, and I had to force this out. I will choose to come into agreement with that word, even though there was a part of me that didn't believe it. Because I can't see past my suffering right now. So that's where we're going. And look at Joseph in the Bible. He went the scenic route too. He wasn't trained in the palace. His training was in the pit. large. This was Genesis 49, starting verse 23. The archers bitterly attacked him, shot at him, harassed him severely. Yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. That's the ESV version. And he'll do it for us. I'll tell you a really neat story. So I started writing corporate words when I was in California. And so this word was about Joseph. And God said, I want you to contact Marcia Burns and send it to her. Well, she published it on her prophetic stream. And I was like, wow, this is the first word I ever had go public, you know. At the time, I was part of a prophetic mentoring school. And the leader of the group had a special speaker, prophetess Shirley Weaver. And she's one of those Bounty Paper Towel prophets, brand name. And so I was in the group. Now, Billy Alexander, the lady who was the leader of the prophetic mentoring school, she had seen the word online. Because it got picked up by Elijah List, too. So, but this gal, Shirley Weaver, did not. Now, this corporate word was so encouraging and uplifting. It was about the Josephs that were coming forward. Remember I said corporate word? I took myself out of the corporate. I never once dawned on me that I was part of the corporate that I was speaking to, right? That God was speaking through me. This Shirley Weaver called out two people, and I was one of them, and she spoke the identical word that I delivered on Elijah List to me. And my teacher, Billy Alexander, was jumping up and down because she was the only one that seen it. It had just come out. So God had to literally hit me over the head with a stranger to get me to believe that it was for me. He was going to make sure that I knew that I am part of the corporate body that was to receive that word. And he will do that for you. But hopefully it won't be as hard for you as it was for me. I mean, he literally had to hit me over the head with a spiritual fracas. It shouldn't be this hard. But prolonged trauma does stuff to you. It does. Your identity becomes what has been going on, what seems like a lifetime. So for now, right now, things are kind of quiet, but I'm restless. I feel like I said something to somebody, I can't remember who I said it yet. Oh, George, I'm all dressed up with no place to go. But I'm part of what God is doing with the repurposing process. I took a bunny trail way off because of this, this, and this. So God now is bringing it back in to what he really wants from me, for who I really am in Christ. I can't tell you how many people I've bumped into do not, and said to my face, I do not believe that I'm a royal priesthood in a chosen generation. Then why are you reading the Bible if you don't believe it?
Yeah, right.
I didn't write the book. He wrote the book. So if you're not believing those promises and holding on to the truth and believing the stinking thinking and lies over here, you're damning yourself. That's what I think. So because he wants to repurpose from the original purpose that we got off and did other stuff. Other stuff happened to us for whatever reason. Life happened. And you know what? Parenting doesn't come with a manual. Marriage doesn't come with a manual. Caregiving doesn't come with a manual. It's all on-the-job training, okay? But all of us have private lives, and somehow we get stuck on the horizontal survival. God's saying, I got this word, and this is, I feel so appropriate for all of you. It was from a really good friend of mine, and she said, you know, God wanted me to tell you that he sees all the gifts and talents that you have. But he's going to tell you when you are to use them.
Amen.
So you can depend on him to be free what you need to do for him and let him take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. That was such a spot on word for me. I'm a fixer. I'm an RN. I'm a nurse. I'm a nurturer, a caregiver, or whatever. And so I was finding that with this one individual, everything I was doing wasn't working. Duh. Because he didn't need me to fix the problem. He wants me doing other things.
Yes.
Same for you guys. This church, when I first came here in that February, I saw all these pews filled. Every one of them. And I was just sharing with Don earlier because the Lord gave me a word for this church and I shared it with him. And he's going to pick up the mantle and do it.
Yes.
But God was trying, I believe, and then some people have left. But he's going to start bringing back in because he did some pruning. You know that scripture, a little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf? So I'm talking to leaders here. And it starts at the top, right? And God's going to bless you guys because of your hearts. Because of the way you're postured towards radical obedience, because when the Holy Spirit shows up, you're just going to move over.
Right.
Because he knows you. But there, he doesn't want, he wants a pure leadership.
Yeah.
Because you guys are going to be guiding the drowning people.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And you ain't fixed. You ain't doing it right.
Yeah.
It's going to affect them. So God does and has been pruning, realigning relationships, putting you together with your own tribe, if you will, people that are same spiritual bent, on fire Christians. And you're going to see, because you're the ones that are going to have to hold their arms up when there's people falling all over the place. You're the ones that are going to be specially tuned into God. Because he's going to give you wisdom and discernment beyond your wildest imagination. Because I'm telling you, I've been in Brownsville. I went to 3 Brownsville pastor conferences, and our church caught the fire in Carlsbad, and it blew up for 4 months. We had people laying all over the place. It was phenomenal. But the top was pure. And in that event, this was a 500-person church. 250 people moved out because they didn't like change.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, see you later. Don't let the door hit you in the butt fast enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because God was bringing more people in
with
the leadership that was pure. And the leaders, the pastors in that church, they made sure that the top was clean.
Yeah.
Right from the worship team down. Because especially with the worship team. And people were complaining because it was a lot of family members. I don't care.
Right.
Because they knew these people's walks.
Yeah, right.
And they could trust them. Because when these people come flying into your church, they're not going to be the whole people. This is a hospital.
Right.
If you're thinking
it is.
All these well-adjusted people are going to come floating in here, yeah.
No.
You need to learn how to love them. You need to learn that even if they don't look like you,
right.
Because that's what's going to be instrumental in changing lives. Because that's what the Lord showed me. That's why it's just a few people here tonight, because you guys are all leaders. You're supporters of the leadership. So you guys need to be set free first. We've all been pregnant. I really enjoyed Walt's message because this was a real platform for tonight. So I ask you, what are you pregnant with this season? I believe all of us were pregnant our entire lives, waiting for the birth. And we're in transition. For those of you that have had kids, transition is the worst god-awful part of childbirth. Get this kid out, you're throwing up, you're yelling. It's horrible. I don't even want to tell you my story. We've been pregnant with our destinies, and now this is where the rubber hits the road, folks. And this awful transition period, which is unsettling, it feels like you're trying to stand on Jell-O, which is, that is a visual, right? It's very instinct. Imagine trying to stand on Jell-O. Okay. When you hit that transition period, the birth is really close. So when your life is kind of really just a disaster, you can assume that baby's head is crowning. The birth is near. So don't look at the awful. Look at the process. Embrace the process, knowing that you're in a transitional phase in your lifetime pregnancy and going to birth a destiny, because God's going to break some stuff off tonight, because it's time to move on. So these are some keys that I found that helped me get rid of the stinking thinking. So when these lies attack me, I take them captive. Refuse to believe anything that is contrary to Scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Know who you are in Christ and what you're entitled to. A joint heir with Christ? Really? Wrap your head around that one. Joint heir with Christ. There's a crown on your heads, all of you. When you look in that mirror, you need to see that crown. And if you don't see that crown, then you need to ask God why you don't. But it ain't his fault. We can also be the suffering servant, and it can become warm and comfy and safe. Nope. Because someday, we're all going to be standing before God, and he's going to say one of two things. Well done, good and faithful servant, or why didn't you want what I had for you?
Yeah.
And what are you going to say to that one?
Yeah.
It's the things of the horizontal need to be left to him now. You need to focus on what he wants you to do as a leader in this church. Get your focus on all the periphery static and whatever's swirling around, and get in touch with who you are in Christ. What is it he put you here for? Why did he put you here? How many of you sit before the Lord and say, why did you put me here? What is my destiny?
Yeah.
It's not that he doesn't care what you want, but his higher purpose is it what you want your kids to be, or what you think you should be, or your job should be. We're getting close, folks, and we need to get in contact with that destiny, because we will be accountable for it. Words of declaration of scriptures I have written out, and I will send these to Mars. And if you want to print them up and share them with everybody, I have been praying. There's probably, so I'll grab a hold of a scripture, all right? And then, and so what I'll say is, let me give you an example. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, according to Psalm 26:3. And I have a list that I pray every day. I am speaking the word out loud, because the devil is listening.
Oh, yeah.
And when you speak the word of God, he got a mouth. Okay? So I will go through this list. It's not real bad. It goes by pretty quick. And it's becoming part of me. But you're speaking life to yourself. After God gets rid of whatever he wants to get rid of tonight, start filling it. And I will send you those declarations, you know, if you feel that, print them out and let people take them home. Because they work. Years ago I did this, and I'm starting to see it happen now. Marinate in them. marinate in the word. You know, marinate? You know when you marinate a piece of meat, you let it sit in the brine or whatever until it becomes part of the meat. And it takes a while. But I'm telling you, the word of God is going to be so much part of you, but you're calling forth those things that are not as though they are. That is scriptural. And don't do it because they don't feel like it. You got to stop doing the feeling thing. Feelings will lead you down the wrong road. Listen for, another one is listen for God's voice in the stillness and embrace the quiet. So many of us sit before God and we start getting fidgety because either he's not talking the way we want him to talk. You know, if you want to hear God, open your Bible. I don't know. Some people he speaks to in different ways. But you're not hearing anything. Read the Bible. He's talking to you through your Bible. Some people are uncomfortable with stillness and quiet because they feel like they need to be productive and they need to do all this stuff. And who said that? The word, did you find that verse in the Bible? I haven't seen it. Have you? No. Put your head on his chest and listen for his heartbeat. He loves that. Shut off the noise around us. You know, if you think about being pregnant your whole life, waiting for the birth of your destiny in Jesus, and anybody that's been pregnant, you can really associate the different months of being pregnant with all the discomforts, but somehow you endure it because you're looking forward to the birth of the baby. So why don't you look forward to your destiny being birthed in that way? Regardless of how uncomfortable it is along the way, it's a process. And we don't want to have an Ishmael. Mm-hmm. Look what happened with Abraham. Hey, you told me I was going to have a son. Where is it? Oh, I'll take matters into my own hands. And look what that did. Okay? And the repercussions of that we're still dealing with today. So when that little inkling comes to you that says, I'm going to take matters in my own hands, nope. Rejection can be God's protection. Well, that's a loaded one. I've had some rejection in my life, but I can see that was orchestrated from the Lord to protect me. That's an interesting concept, huh? Perspective. How we look at things is so important. We can either take the positive perspective or the negative one. Many of us are awaiting our Esther moments. What's that? It's our time that we came for such a time as this. And each one of us, I believe, has an Esther moment. And in that Esther moment, the king granted the scepter and gave her favor. Did she barge? No, but sometimes God will ask you to do something a little bit uncomfortable. If you're sure that it's the Lord, go for it. I'm sure Esther knew the weight of that decision, where she could have. So don't be shy. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Breathe when you're in transition. Get ready to push forward what God is birthing. Don't tire in the birthing process. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
And they miss it. Keep pushing. May look messy. Keep pushing. Mm-hmm. Push. Pray until something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And know that it will happen. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 14:27 paraphrase says, All the forces of evil cannot come against what God has ordained for us. We can mess it up, but I still believe God will have his way. Don't give up. Can you imagine getting ready to have a baby and deciding, gee, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Really?
Right.
Oh, okay. So we don't want to short-circuit our destinies. And right now I believe we're being repurposed and directed to the destiny he has for us. And there is silence in the repurposing process. But if we persevere, we will reap in due season. So I have a word here from the Lord. And there's purpose in the pain. I honestly have been through some horrendous things, and I don't think I could be the person I am today if I hadn't. Because the one thing I've learned through this very interesting life I've had is to love Jesus style. What does that mean? That means when the person I'm caring for has spit in my face, abused me, and I'm still able to serve with joy, that's how Jesus loves.
Yeah.
How many of us, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm there, you know, Jesus extends his love to us all the time. Do we always pay attention to him? No. And if we don't do this right, he'll keep bringing us around the mountain until we get the memo. What's the definition of insanity I heard? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. No, I'm serious. We're close. We're very close. God is calling you all to excellence.
Amen.
All of us have some kind of track record with God. And I can tell you that now, looking, those things back here help carry me, the miracles back here help carry me through the unknown over here. Because the only thing that can stop the flow is me. If I give in to sin or rebellion, honestly. And I also believe that as God is going to deliver us from some things that have been sliming our destinies, whether it's trauma or whatever, that we will have that authority in the spirit when we lay hands and pray for others. Because he's looking for overcomers. And leaders have a higher accountability than other people who are not in. So this is a word I felt that God gave me for this group. My eagles are in labor and about to cross over to their destinies in 2024. This is the Jewish year, 5784, of the open door. Okay? This is the word of the Lord. The devourer is postured to distract my leaders, creating havoc, ready to pounce and devour the eaglets. What I felt was that this was the enemy's last-ditch effort to avert calls of God in all of you. The Spirit of the Lord told me that we are to push on and praise him, and that as soon as we step into 2024, the enemy would not be allowed to harass us in the areas that we're being delivered from. Victory is coming. God was also saying that this was boot camp, and he was making us bulletproof for the times ahead. Destiny is knocking at our doors. God is going to deliver us, and the baby would be born in a glorious fashion with heaven rejoicing. The angel of the Lord is acting as a midwife and protecting and tending the birth personally. This comforted me very much. And not only that, but the Lord further spoke that these babies would be beautiful, perfect in all ways, and would not die of crib death or failure to thrive. we were to keep pushing and to maintain our focus on Him and persevere. And if God isn't telling you to fix it, don't. Trust Him. Because it's a tactic of the wiles and strategies of the enemy. You need to know what they are. This distraction. And this is what He said too. He said, after the glorious birth, we would all be restored to divine wellness. Father, I just thank You for being able to share a few things to Your leaders. And Holy Spirit, I just ask right now that You'd reach down in hearts, and that those that feel that they need delivered from trauma or whatever, God, that they would come forward. Not look around the room to see who's going up and who isn't, but they would come forward and receive freedom.